So yes, some things have happened just before this text that I think are really important for us to remember. And like I said, 8 days prior, Jesus was with his disciples, and he asked them, "What are people saying about me?" So they tell him, "Well, some are saying that you're Elijah. Some say you're a prophet that has returned." And then he asked them, "So now I'm going to ask you, who do you say that I am?" And Peter, bless his heart, one of the times he gets it right. But with that passion that I've grown to love, he says, "You are the Messiah, the one that God has sent." And then Jesus tells him, "Keep that to yourself for now." Okay? And then Jesus goes on and gives the first of his prophecy of what's going to happen to him. He tells them that he will be turned over to the rulers. He will suffer. He will be crucified on the cross. He will die. And then he will rise again in 3 days. And now, 8 days later, we have this. We have Jesus inviting Peter, James, and John to go up on a mountain to pray. Mountain. Things happen up on a mountain, just so you know. Things happen on a mountain. Any of you had a mountaintop experience? Ever had one of those experiences that you just go, "Oh, this is something significant," and maybe even be difficult to articulate what it was? But you have this experience, right? Well, Peter, James, and John are about to have one of those experiences. So Peter, James, and John go with Jesus up on the mountain. They're praying, okay? And I think this is significant. They go up and they got away from it all. And they're praying. And while they're praying, two men show up, kind of out of nowhere. And they recognize them. How? I don't know. But they recognize them as Moses and Elijah. These are significant, significant people in their faith. So Peter, James, and John are up on the mountain with Jesus praying, and Moses and Elijah show up. This is just the beginning of this mountaintop experience. And so Moses and Elijah are talking with Jesus, and they're talking about his departure, Jesus' departure, or actually the word is exodus, that he's going to accomplish in Jerusalem. Remember 8 days earlier what he had said, right? And so they're talking about that, and while they're talking, something happens to Jesus. His face changes. That's all we're told. It changes. And we saw in earlier texts that Moses, when he encountered God, his face changed, okay? There was something different about him. And also we're told that his clothes, Jesus' clothes, became dazzling white. And they were kind of blown away by that. In addition to Moses and Elijah, now this happens. And so about the time that Moses and Elijah were leaving, Peter says, it's good to be here. He doesn't know what to say. This is one of those experiences. You don't know what to say. It's good that we're here. We should build 3 booths because that's what you should do. This is a significant event. We need to mark it, okay? We need to mark this moment. And well, let's build a booth for you, Jesus, and one for Moses and one for Elijah, because he doesn't know what he's saying. And then a cloud comes. Things happen in clouds, too, especially up on a mountain. A cloud shows up, and as they're entering this cloud, and as this cloud kind of envelops them, that they're terrified, understandably. Because all of this is happening. They went up just to pray with Jesus, and then Moses and Elijah show up. Jesus changes, and then now this cloud is enveloping them, and then a voice. God's voice says to them, "This is my son, the beloved. listen to him. Listen to him. Now, I know the choir, if you had had an opportunity to sing this morning, that Transfiguration anthem, right? What I understood, I have not heard it, but I'm married to somebody who sings in the choir, and she was telling me, oh, Michael, because I was telling her what I was thinking about talking about with you today, and she says, oh, that is just like exactly what the choir's anthem is all about. Listen to him, right? I think this is significant for us today. Now, we're not told exactly what Jesus is going to say. What God tells Peter, James, and John, and I believe us, is to listen to Jesus. Listen to him. Now, I don't know about you, but it can be hard to listen sometimes, right? It can be hard to listen. Now, I know Denise is here. Other people that were on the transition team, are they here? Yep, thank you, Shirley. And yes, thank you. And the transition team, that's what you did. You listened intentionally. And it's hard work. You had all kinds of one-on-ones. You had opportunities where the congregation could gather as a group, and you listened. And you listened very carefully. And it's hard work to listen intentionally. And the congregation shared a lot. And you listened. Now I believe the congregation is being asked to listen. To listen to Jesus. That's different. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes one of the things that I have found that I can mask what I would claim to be listening, but it's not. Let's say we're having a conversation, Larry, and I'm listening. Actually, what I'm doing is waiting my turn to talk. Yeah, it's not listening, right? And I, for lots of reasons, But I believe God is not only inviting us, but actually is telling us to listen to Jesus. The other thing that's a challenge for me sometimes in listening to Jesus is I can get distracted with all kinds of things. It's really easy for me, maybe for you, to tell Jesus what's on my mind. And there's nothing wrong with that. God makes it very clear. Bring everything to me. Tell me what's on your mind. I already know, but tell me. Here, though, we're asked, we're told to listen to Jesus. And I think as a community, this is really important for us. And the other thing, too, that I have a challenge with, and maybe you can agree, or maybe you've never had this experience, that I will think I'm listening to Jesus, but actually it's what I want. But I want it so bad that I'm sure Jesus would be telling me this, right? But it may not be. And so it's hard work to listen, and yet that's what we're being told to do. And not only to listen, but to listen to Jesus, which is different. Now, I'm going to give you a little preview for the season of Lent. Season of Lent, we are going to be exploring and experiencing and studying and celebrating sacred place. And just for a very brief, one of the things for me, sacred places, is that time, that place where you enter into it intentionally to listen to God, to Jesus. That's what Peter, James, and John went up on the mountain with Jesus, is to pray, to be with God. to not only share, but to listen. And boy, they got a chance to listen, didn't they? So there was a sacred place. There was intentionality of listening to Jesus. And it's hard work, and so we need each other. We need each other as a community for accountability and for love and for encouragement to continue to listen for Jesus, which is often different than what my individual desires are. But it's important that we listen to Jesus. Now, I wish God would have told them, listen to Jesus when he says this, and just gives the nice list. This is what you're going to expect. He doesn't say that. God doesn't say that. He says, listen to Jesus. Listen to him. It's my son. Listen to him. So, I think we have a task in front of us to listen. And I want to share with you an experience that I had this week. You might have noticed on Tuesday, there was fog. Remember the fog in the morning? There's lots of thick fog, right? Well, I'm one of those goofballs that gets excited about fog, okay? Because I have a camera. And I've learned that if fog is around, find a high ground. Find high ground, right? So I did. And then Tuesday night, I learned that they were predicting fog for Wednesday morning, too. So I got excited. And so I went to Matthews Winters Park on Wednesday morning, and I climbed in the fog, and I got this. And I was just over the tops of the clouds, just over the tops. And I tell you, maybe like Peter, James, and John, I don't know, I did not see Moses. I did not see Elijah. But I have to tell you, it was quite an experience up there. And it's difficult for me to articulate what was going on for me up there, other than it was amazing. And then the fog moved, and all of a sudden I was in it. And I had these words, this text, ringing through my head. And then the fog dissipated, and all I could still see like this, over, you guys are down in there, in that fog. This is, look, yeah. It's difficult to explain. But I tried to listen. And I want you to know what I heard. I heard God very distinctly say, keep listening, Michael. Keep listening. And it wasn't a wagging finger. It wasn't a, come on, Michael. It was this beautiful, loving command. Keep listening. Keep listening for me, Jesus. Keep listening. Be intentional about having those sacred places and sacred time where you are intentionally setting yourself up to listen and invite the congregation to do the same. So, sisters and brothers in Christ, I'm so glad you're here this morning. Because I was lucky enough to come down the mountain, back into the fog, which is where I'm normally in so many different ways. And I get a chance to ask you to help me. And I promise to help you to listen for Jesus. The call committee is formed, and they have an important task in front of them. And one of those tasks, I believe, is to continue to listen for Jesus. And as a community, that we will join and ask and support the call committee in praying and in being intentionally listening for Jesus. This may not be a time for Holy Shepherd to share. This is what I want. This is this. Maybe this is a time for us to listen for Jesus. And it'll be hard. Trust me. I know how hard it is for me. But I have a feeling God is not angry with us when telling us to listen for Jesus. I think that comes with great love and great hope and great mercy. So, sisters and brothers in Christ, may we listen carefully and lovingly for Jesus. Amen.